Hare Krishna. So we have seen the sixth chapter, which is titled as Dhyana Yoga. Each and every shloka, shloka by shloka, we have seen. Now in this particular video, let's see the entire summary of the chapter, all the 47 shlokas together. So what happened in the fifth chapter? So in the fifth chapter, Krishna, in shloka number 27 and 28, he actually summarized Ashtanga Yoga. And this particular thing that he summarized, now he's going to elaborate that in the sixth chapter. And this sixth chapter is exclusively the description of Ashtanga Yoga. Various things are given. Firstly, the Angas of Ashtanga Yoga is given, and then the process itself is given very nicely. The two stages are given, the beginning stage, the stage of perfection, and finally towards the end, Krishna talks about the topmost yogi. So here, in shloka number 1 and 2, Krishna is saying very clearly that renunciation and yoga, they are the same. Yam sanyasam iti prahur yogam tam vidhi pandava. So not much difference is there between the two. That's what he is making the statement in shloka number 1 and 2. And after that, in shloka number 3 and 4, he's talking about the two levels of Ashtanga Yoga. So he's talking about Yoga Rurukshuhu and Yoga Rudha. So Yoga Rurukshu is basically the beginning stage, and after a good amount of practice, the person reaches the next level, that is called as Yoga Rudha. Now, as we understand, Ashtanga Yoga means eight limbs. So we have Yama, Niyama, Asana, Pranayam, Pratyahar. So these actually come in the category of Yoga Rurukshu. So the beginners will be there in this particular category, the first level. And the next is Dharana, Dhyana and Samadhi. So in that intense meditation stage, a person who is there, that person is called as a person in the stage of Yoga Rudha. So this he has described in shloka number 3 and 4. Now in shloka number 5 and 6, Krishna talks about the mind. The controlled mind is the friend and uncontrolled mind is the enemy. And then in shloka number 7 to 9, now Krishna is describing the wonderful symptoms of a person who is there on the highest level, that is Yoga Rudha. So, one of the shlokas where he is saying that Shitoshna Sukha Dukhada Tatha Manapamana Yoho. So, this person is equipoised in all the situations, be it Shita or Ushna, be it winter or summer, be it Sukha or Dukha, that is happiness or distress, Man or Apaman, honor or dishonor. He is equipoised in all the situations. And he is fully satisfied because he has got the knowledge of knowledge and realization. He is self-controlled. He sees sama loshtrashma kanchanaha. He sees ashma, that is the pebbles, loshtra, that is pebbles, ashma is stones, and kanchana, gold, all at the same level. But more advanced than this person is that person who sees everyone on the same level. Suhuran mitrari udasina. Hope you remember the shloka, where he says that surat, mitra, Ari, Udasin, all of them as on the same level. That is, enemy, friend, the one who is very, very close as a bandhu or a relative, and all the others, a person who is envious, all of them he is actually treating equally and he is seeing all of them with the same equal vision. And also, it's very nicely given, you know, in these shlokas, from shlokas number 7 to 9, that how great this person is. Now from shloka number 10 to 17, there's a nice description of how this yoga should be practiced, Ashtanga Yoga should be practiced. So all the ones who are interested can refer 10 to 17 and then follow step by step and practice Ashtanga Yoga very nicely. First step is what? First find a secluded place and go to that secluded place. And how should be the secluded place? That's given in shloka number 11 and 12. The first word, Shuchau Deshe. It should be very clean, auspicious. So holy place basically. One should go to a holy place. And then what he should do? He should make his own asana. He should establish his own asana. So by putting the deer skin, soft cloth and kusha grass. And after that, what he's supposed to do? He should make sure that the seat is not very high or not very low. It should be proper. then you should sit on that. You should sit on that and then start practicing yoga with one goal, that is purifying one's heart. Now after that, in shloka number 13 and 14, it is given that he should sit very straight. His body, neck and head should be straight, and he should be looking at the tip of the nose all the time, because he has to focus on one point. So tip of the nose is that point. And he should make sure that he remains unagitated. Even if a carnivorous animal comes to eat him, even if a snake comes around, still he should be unagitated completely. And then he should be devoid of fear, and he should maintain complete celibacy, not indulging into any sexual activity. And in this state, what he should do? He should meditate on the Lord in his heart. And then obviously so many other things are given about how he should control his body, mind, and he should make sure that his mind is fully controlled. Shloka number 16 and 17 were very important, which spoke about how one's habits of eating, sleeping, recreation and work should be regulated. And this is very much applicable to all the transcendentalists, not just Ashtanga Yogi, all of us, as Bhakti Yogis also. It's very much important and very practical. And then he continues in 18th and 19th shloka, where he says that one should be steady in his meditation and devoid of all material desires. So this is what he spoke very clearly. Lord Sri Krishna has spoken very, very clearly how to practice Ashtanga Yoga. Now after speaking about this, from shloka number 18 to 23, shloka number 18 to 23, till 17, he has spoken about how to practice. Now from 18 to 23, he is actually talking about the perfectional stage of Ashtanga Yoga. So where I already said this, that the person gets devoid of all the material desires, and then he remains controlled, mind is controlled, and he has a steady meditation on the Supreme Lord as Paramatma. And obviously lot of wonderful symptoms are given, wonderful qualities are given from shloka number 20 to 23, which we have discussed, where it is given here that he gets the ability to see the self by pure mind and to relish and rejoice in self. So he's relishing something on a very, very different high state. And one is never shaken in such a position, even in the midst of greatest difficulty. And he has freedom from all miseries arising from material contact. So these are the different aspects and realizations at the stage of perfection. Now, from shloka number 24 to 26, here methods to attain Yoga Arudha stage is given. So now, till now, what was discussed is what happens in the Yoga Arudha stage and what are the symptoms. Now, how to reach that stage? That is given in shloka number 24 to 26. So here it's very nicely given that one should practice yoga with determination and faith and not deviate from the path. And also it is given that step by step one should become situated in trance. His mind should be fixed on self alone. He shouldn't think anything else. And finally it is given that whenever the mind wanders, he should make sure that he withdraws it and gets it back and continues his meditation. And in shloka number 27 to 30, now Krishna is describing about the Brahma Bhuta and Brahma Samsparsha stage. So Brahma Bhuta is basically realizing Atma, that is oneself. And Brahma Samsparsha, that is given in shloka number 28, talks about realizing the super soul. And the same theme Krishna is continuing in 29 and 30 also, where he talks about that how a self-realized soul sees him, sees the Supreme Lord everywhere. He's on a very, very high platform and he sees the Lord everywhere. So it is given here, Yomam Pashyati Sarvatra Sarvam Chamai Pashyati Tasyaham Na Pranashyami Sacha Mena Pranashyati. So one who sees me everywhere and sees everything in me, I am never lost, nor is he ever lost to me. So he has got a very, very intimate connection with the Lord on the stage of the realization of Paramatma. Now, shloka number 31 and 32 talks about the actions of a perfect yogi, that how he basically behaves. So what he does, he engages in the worshipful service of the super soul, and then he makes sure that he sees everyone on the equal platform. In fact, he sees everyone the way he sees himself. So basically, he gives a lot of importance to everyone and considers their happiness and distress as his own. So this is on a very high platform. The person has realized so many wonderful things on the transcendental platform that now he's able to see all that. Now, after hearing all this in shloka number 33 and 34, Arjuna is telling Krishna, okay, Krishna, you've described all this. I raise my hands. I cannot do it. It's very difficult. It's impractical. It's unendurable. Why? Chanchalam hi mana Krishna pramati balavadridam. You say, are my mind is fickle. It's agitating all the time. It is obstinate. And it's very strong. I cannot do this. I cannot do this. You tell me something else. What can I do? Then, to help Arjuna to understand that it is possible, Krishna speaks, shloka number 35, where he says, two important words, abhyasa and vairagya. Arjuna, it is possible. How? By practice and detachment. Just do it. Don't think twice. Just do it. And then in shloka number 36, finally he says, in shloka number 36, that mind control is very important. Come what may. The person has to do mind control. Why? Because if the mind is not controlled, self-realization is very difficult. And the one whose mind is controlled and who strives by appropriate means, such a person will surely get success, assured of success. Now, after hearing all this, Arjuna is asking another question to Krishna. Oh, Krishna, can you tell me what happens to that person, that yogi, who was sincerely practicing but who couldn't attain perfection? What will be his destination? This is the question that he has asked in shloka number 37 to 39. He's emphasizing on this question. And then Krishna is answering from shloka number 40 to 45. So what are the wonderful things that Krishna is saying here? The first thing that he says is, such a person does not meet destruction either in this world or in spiritual world. He can never be overcome by evil because he was sincerely practicing. And a yogi who practiced for some time and falls down, what happens to him? He goes to the Swargaloka, heavenly planets, enjoys there for many, many thousands of years. And after that, he comes down to this earthly planet and takes birth in either of the two families. Shuchinam, that is a righteous Brahmana family, or Srimatam, a very, very rich family. And what about a person who has practiced for a long time? What about that yogi when he falls down? He takes birth in the family of a transcendentalist, wherein right from childhood, he has been given lot of opportunities to revive his practice of yoga. And then in shloka number 43, it is said that after taking such a birth, the person revives his divine consciousness from his past life, and then he tries his best, he endeavors hard to attain perfection. And then it is said, by the way, in this we had discussed the Bharat Maharaj pastime, if you remember, the three lives of Bharat Maharaj. And finally, in this shloka number 44 and 45, Krishna is speaking about that how, after reviving this divine consciousness, he is naturally getting attracted to the yogi principles without any endeavor. And he keeps practicing in such a way, he is putting all his sincere endeavor and making sure that he is getting rid of all the contamination. And it is said that such a yogi, after many, many lifetimes of perfection, he attains the ultimate goal. And after describing all this, then Krishna is finally concluding. In shloka number 46, he says that this yogi is actually much, much better than who are the different personalities, whom comparatively is much better. So first we have tapasvi, a person who is doing austerities. Jnani, Jnana Yogi, Karma Yogi. So as compared to all of them, this Ashtanga Yogi is the topmost. But then finally, Krishna is giving the final statement to Arjuna that who is actually very, very dear to my heart and who is the topmost yogi. And he quotes the last shloka of this sixth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, that is, Yogi Naam Api Sarvesham Madgatena Antaratmana Shraddhavan bhajate yo mam same yukta tamo mataha. So here Krishna is very clear, where he is saying that out of all the yogis, the person who is always abiding in me, thinking of me with great faith, and Bhajate Yomam, who is doing loving devotional service onto me, is very much intimately connected to me, and that is what is my opinion, O Arjuna. So in this way, after describing the entire process of Ashtanga Yoga, understanding that how Arjuna is feeling that it's very difficult to practice, now Krishna is going to speak about Bhakti Yoga. So he has given a glimpse of Bhakti Yoga in the last shloka of 6th chapter. Now Krishna is going to elaborate this shloka into next 6 chapters. 6 chapters is going to describe Bhakti Yoga process, the topmost process and a very, very important process which will help all of us to intensify our devotional service. So let's see 7th chapter, shloka by shloka, from next video onwards. Hare Krishna.